Praise God. Good evening. God is truly worthy of praise. Amen. Today was a wonderful day. Awesome day. It's always a great day that you see the sun shining and the goodness of God manifested. Amen. One thing I would encourage everyone is that, you know, it's real easy for us to get caught up in the rat race of life and all the things that go on. But you need to rest sometimes. You need to rest yourself sometimes. I think a lot of times we overdo what we're intended to do, and pretty soon our temple starts getting worn out because we're overexerting ourselves. We're doing more than we should. It's okay, because I'm going to tell you, today I did one of the most spiritual things that some people can do. I took a long nap. And when I woke up, man, I felt like a brand new person. We need to take the time to make sure that our temples are taken care of. Amen. I know that God, He will definitely take care of us, but we're stewards over this, so we have to take care of it as well. So I would just encourage you. Like I said, from that nap, I woke up, I was so energized, I was ready. It's like, man, I haven't gotten a rest like that in a long time. So it's awesome to be able to just rest yourself sometimes. But last time I ministered, I mentioned to you all the lady that had came and did the interviews with us at South by Southwest, Jennifer Fulweiler. She has a show on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM satellite radio. Well, she had me in studio today on her program. So we did like a full 40-minute interview, and it went wonderful. I mean, just God has given me tremendous favor with this lady. I mean, she's a blessing. And she, after the interview was over, we talked, and she told me, she said, seriously, anytime you want to come on the show, the door is open. She said, anytime, and if there's anything going on that you want to share, you got an open door. And she said, you know, I'm kind of a new kid on the block on XM Satellite Radio. God's given a tremendous favor with the corporate office in New York. It was really awesome. We were sitting there recording, and as we were recording, the information that she was doing in the studio where she records, it was going directly live to New York. How that was happening, but it was just amazing, like from Austin straight to New York, and they were mixing it on the fly in New York. And so, but she told me, she said, I'm the new kid on the block at XM, but she says, if the door opens up where they're asking for any programming, she says, I'm going to mention you. Now, I didn't ask her to do that, but it's just the favor of God, the favor of God. And I was like, you know, and that's what, remember last time I said, that's what I was believing and decreeing, that God was going to open that door, but I didn't even mention that to her. And as I'm leaving out of the place, that comes out of her mouth. So God is truly worthy. If God puts something in your hand, which He has put something in each one of your hands, don't take it lightly. Run with the fullness and the assurance that if He's given it to you, He'll provide the provision, the people that you need to make it happen, whatever it needs to happen to get you to the place where you're supposed to be. As it said, the very last part of our bold confession here, I'm a miracle of God en route to divine appointment where I will display His triumph. That's the ultimate goal. He wants to put you in a place where you can display His triumph. So run with whatever He's placed in your heart like never before. Praise God. So tonight we're going to continue talking about New Covenant realities, but we're going to talk specifically about an important part of the New Covenant realities that a lot of times I think that we're not fully invested in, that we should be using like never before. Definitely in the time when, you know, so many people are saying, oh man, how did we get here? Or how did our nation get here? A believer should not let those words come out of their mouth. We should take up the mantle and begin to decree and declare the it is written word of truth. But I'm going to preface it with a little bit of a little story that God reminded me of. And I teased you about what you said, Brother Kenneth, about being militant. Just to kind of give you a backdrop. I love when he said that in the last time he ministered, because it triggered something that I remembered how God brought me from that path to where He has me in the kingdom. You know, I'm from Texas City, Texas, originally. I went to Lamarck High School, which is Lamarck and Texas City. They kind of border each other. But I went to Lamarck High School, predominantly black high school, graduated, came to University of Texas. And all of a sudden, I realized that I was black. I didn't know it until I got to UT. And this was, I think, before your time, maybe before John's time. But this, there was a group that, I think it was the second semester of my freshman year, they had this big thing called the Texas Roundup that they did every, it was kind of like a homecoming. And these guys, it was all in the front newspaper of the school newspaper that they had like bashed this car in, and they put all these racist terms on this car, like go back home, coons, all this stuff, just put all, and then we're like, it made you feel like, and it just was uneasy. This was in your face, you know. So we decided, we were like, look, y'all have to do something about this student group. We were telling the administrators, they need to be, you know, be either put on probation for something, because this is, I mean, they're parading this around the whole campus, this busted up car. And then another group decided they were going to start selling T-shirts with Michael Jordan. Now, Michael Jordan is up in the air, that big famous picture of him in the air. They took the head of it off and put like this big Sambo coon looking guy with a big lips, and they were selling this shirt. And so we were like, how can the university let y'all do this? So anyway, we were going to the administrative office and we're trying to tell the people about this. And this guy, I was the calm one. My roommate, bless his heart, he went kind of crazy. But the guy said, what is all this ruckus? Why are y'all in here? And we said, didn't you see the newspaper, all of this stuff? And the guy said, well, we let y'all come here. What's the problem? I had to hold my roommate back because he was about to. But when you're young, that's the time a lot of times you're impressionable and a lot of things start coming in. Well, the bad stuff started. Now, mind you, I'm not even nowhere near the Word of God. I'm nowhere near the Word of God. I grew up in religion and all that stuff, and when I got out of it, I started kind of doing my own thing. But having been exposed to all this stuff that was going on campus, lo and behold, here come these, you know, Fruit of Islam guys and the Nation of Islam guys and the 5%ers. See, brother, you're a victim. You're a victim, brother. You need to. And so all this stuff starts kind of trickling in my mind. I start, you know, meditating on the wrong thing. And lo and behold, one summer when I was home, I was playing all this stuff, this Farrakhan stuff, and all this crazy stuff playing. And my little grandmother walked by the room and heard that stuff. And this came out of her mouth. She just stopped and she looked at me. She said, boy, I raised you better than that. That one statement convicted me to no end. Now, I immediately turned it off, and I thought about what she said, and it began to filter in and trickle in, and I'm like, why am I listening to this? This isn't right. Shortly after that, I rededicated my life, and then shortly after that, got filled with the Holy Spirit, all because someone took authority. She basically was saying that as the matriarch of this house, I'm not putting up with this because I did not put this in you. And that woke me up. That convicted me. So what we're talking about tonight is the authority that God has given us to walk in. It's time for us, like never before, to begin, if we haven't already done so, begin to exercise it. So once again, as I said, with all the stuff you hear people saying, oh, man, how did we get here? It's really easy for people to ask these questions about what's going on. Have we missed it? Where have we gone wrong? But I feel that this question stems, if it's coming from a believer, not knowing who they really are, and also maybe almost importantly, not knowing the authority, the position of authority that God has given us to exercise in the earth. The Lord had led me to begin looking through Kenneth Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority. And if you've never read that book, and I believe we have it in the Word Shop, you need to get it. I mean, and just begin to really meditate on the place of authority that God has called. I mean, when you see us, and Pastor Jim, before I came to this church, I didn't know what authority was. But when you see him taking the time to put the scripture out there for us to lay hold of it, this is the first step in taking authority, is understanding the position and the things that God has called us to walk in and beginning to decree it. I want to read you the foreword from Brother Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority. He said, and this is back in the 1940s. He said, back in the 1940s, I asked myself this question. Do we have authority that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered, that we're not using? I had had little glimpses of spiritual authority once in a while. Like others, I had stumbled upon it and had exercised it without knowing what I was doing. And I wondered, is the Spirit of God trying to show me something? So I began to study along this line, think along this line, feed along this line, and I began to see more and more light. And as a result of my studies, I concluded that we as the church have authority on the earth that we have not yet realized, authority that we are not yet fully using. A few of us have begun barely getting to the edge of that authority, but before Jesus comes again, listen at this, before Jesus comes again, there's going to be a whole company of believers who will rise up with the authority that is theirs. They will know what is theirs, and they will do the work that God intended they should do. Amen. This is who we are. This is, once again, we're talking about new covenant realities. These are not, oh, it'll be nice if one day. No, this is who God has positioned us to be. This is what he's called us to exercise. Now, we know we don't exercise it for our own benefit. We exercise it for the benefit of seeing the kingdom of God manifested in the earth. So, yes, what is authority? What does that really look like? Authority simply is delegated power that has been given to us by the anointed Redeemer. Authority is delegated power that has been given to us by the anointed Redeemer. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 12. If you remember last time we talked about identity, John chapter 1, verse 12, it simply says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, which when you look at that word right, translated, it's authority, gave them the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So you have to understand that the authority that we have, it's not based on your qualifications. Thank you, Lord. It's not based on your ability. It's based solely on having a relationship with the anointed Redeemer. Being redeemed by him, believing and receiving his name, automatically ushers you into the authority of the believer by just simply trusting in his name. And I'm glad he made it that easy for us. He didn't make us have to go through all of these steps. He said, if you believe and receive, then you have the right, the authority to be the children of God. So, you know, if I give my kids authority over a piece of land or something, that's not their land, but if I've given them that authority, it's their land, if I gave them the authority over it. You know how when a policeman becomes, commissioned to go out, they usually have to take an oath. And that oath basically it basically establishes the parameters of the jurisdiction that they've been given. So it basically says, you know, they stand before whatever it is at the ceremony when they graduate, and they say these things that make them officially an officer. Sometimes people even do it when you know, not sometimes, but when people become citizens of the United States, they reject their old country and they accept everything that pertains to being a citizen of the United States. Brother Hagin identified these spirit-anointed prayers, and I've heard Pastor Jim even talk about praying these things. You know, Ephesians is a powerful book when it comes to talking about the authority of the believer. You'll find a lot of scriptures, but there's a particular prayer that's in the first and the third chapter of Ephesians that are pivotal foundations of walking in the authority, because the first thing in walking authority is we have to believe that it's ours. We got to understand that it's ours and believe that it's ours. And so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, and you may have heard these before, but I just want to go through them, because one thing Brother Hagin said, he said that they were the turning point of his life when he prayed these prayers. He said he prayed this consistently every day for 6 months. 6 months of his life, when he got the revelation that was in these scriptures, he began to pray them for 6 months. And out of that, he began to walk in revelation and understanding like never before. Once again, from the washing of the water of the word continually. But look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints? What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places. And then look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. For this cause I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit to the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. And so we see here, you know, Brother Hagin said that one of the things that he did was after a while, after praying these prayers, he began to insert his name in there. He began to insert his name. You know, for this reason, I bow my knees for the Father from every, you know, he says that I grant unto Damon, according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with power through his Son in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in Richard's heart. Make it personal. Because we have to understand the authority. See, the thing that the enemy tries to lie to the believers about a lot of times is that that kind of power is that's relegated to those real special people. You know, like Pastor Jim, you know, or, you know, Brother Alfonso or some those big that been no, the authority is for every believer who's been has received the name and has believed in the name of our anointed Redeemer. It's not limited to, and that's why I think the church falls from walking in the full potential of what God wants us to walk in, is because in our minds sometimes we think, I can't do that. I can't. If you've called upon the name of the anointed Redeemer and he has brought you into the kingdom of the Lord, you can decree whatever the word says belongs to you. Do not let yourself be robbed by thinking it's only relegated to the fivefold ministry. It belongs to every person who is a child of the Most High God. To be able to walk in authority requires one thing, the Holy Spirit's wisdom and guidance. Because authority into the kingdom of darkness is a weapon. It's an arsenal that we use to demonstrate and decree kingdom rule in the earth. So guess what? A police officer doesn't have the right to just start shooting his gun whenever he wants to. There are rules and there are parameters that are in place for him to use it when it's supposed to be used. So there are certain things that in walking in authority, the Holy Spirit might say, "It's not that, don't do that just yet." You know, we see an impression in the Word of God where there was a man of God that was at the gate beautiful, and Jesus passed by that gate several times and never ministered to that man. Never. But that was Peter's job. That was for Peter to do. So that's the whole purpose of being led and having. That's why these scriptures in Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3 are so pivotal, is because they begin relegating our mind and putting it in will, plan, and purpose formation for the kingdom of God to be demonstrated through us. It gets us out of the way and begin to get the revelation that this is God's power working through us. It's not my power. It's his power that's working through us. So once again, to be able to have that authority requires the Holy Spirit's wisdom and his guidance. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. And what did he say? He would show us things to come. So once again, like I said, that cop doesn't have the right to just discharge that weapon. There are certain parameters, there are certain situations when it's time to pull it out, and there are certain times for him to use the taser. There's certain times for him to just use the flashlight. The Holy Spirit is the same way in guiding us on using the authority that he has given us. We don't just arbitrarily, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, curse them in Jesus' name, you know, or I'm going to do this or that. You know, the scripture shows us that, you know, some of the disciples, they were ready to call down fire. They had been walking with Christ and were ready. He said, man, wait, hold up. You don't know what spirit you're of. Because if you were of the Holy Spirit, you will know that that's not what He doesn't want that. That's what you want. And so that's the one thing the Holy Spirit will begin to show us when the right authority for the right situation is supposed to be put in play. And we have to stay hooked up to him. But, you know, the one thing and the reality of it is that the opposition that comes. And the wonderful thing is that God has not given us authority over one another. He's not given us authority, or he's given us authority over the earth. Just like when he placed Adam in the earth, he began to tell Adam the authority that he had. And sadly, you see the result of Adam not fully walking in the authority that God had given him. It allowed the real enemy, because my enemy is not flesh and blood. The word clearly tells us our enemy is not flesh and blood. When the real enemy came, Adam had a choice to either exercise that authority, but sad to say, he walked away from that authority and was damned because of a lie. And that's what happens when we don't walk in the authority. That's why situations in the earth are the way it is because the body of Christ, for the fullness, thank God we're taught differently, but for the most part, the body of Christ has basically let these things run rampant instead of standing in the place and saying, no, we will not allow that. We will not. I remember now I know they're probably doing it for political, but I remember when I was a kid, politicians were running to churches. They were running to churches. I haven't seen too many politicians trying to come into many churches nowadays. But they were running to the church trying to get the people, you know, hey, we're on your side, believers. We'll vote for us. But you don't see that nowadays. But if the church began walking in that authority, and I mean the church universal begins to walk in that authority, they won't pass bills without our consent. They won't do things without our consent because they'll know that we have the power, and we do have the power in the earth to exercise his authority and his plan and purpose. But once again, the real enemy, turn with me once again to Ephesians chapter 6. I alluded to this scripture, but I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Brother Hagin had a quote in his book that really blessed me. He says, our combat with the enemy, with the devil, always should be with the consciousness that we have authority over him because he is a defeated foe. Our combat with the devil always should be with the consciousness, with the mindset that we have authority over him because he is a defeated foe. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated him for us. For us. You know, and I, some of the things I saw that word combat and I was like, well, I mean, I see what he's saying, but really, you don't really have combat with somebody that's defeated. The real combat is this thing between our ears, because we fight the good fight of faith. And it's a good fight because the word of God is giving us the ability to wash this thing and get it lined up with what's in our spirit. So it's not really combat. But if any combat exists, like I said, it's within our minds and the reasoning that goes on in our minds, which ultimately is important that they be renewed continually with the word of God. But Brother Kagan refers to this consciousness part. It's right on. The mindset of knowing that enemy is defeated. He is under our feet. He is under our feet. There's no weapon formed against us. And I mean, thank you, Pastor. I mean, this is the reality. This is the reality that we live in, is that any attempt, what does it say here? It says, the anointed Redeemer, he bore and carried away our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we, being dead to sin, no longer responding to sins, the Lord should live in right standing with the anointed Redeemer, for as by his stripes we were healed. The enemy hates this. He hates the reality of knowing that what the Lord did on that cross and ultimately when he was resurrected sealed his eternal fate. Brother Thomas said something at Praise Team that I love, and I've been chewing it on it, brother, and I'm going to share it. Brother Thomas said something that really blessed me. He said, the enemy, a lot of times, we need to remind him of what he calls the riot act. This blessed me. Reminding the enemy, sucker, you may act crazy and do all this stuff, but ultimately, your destination is the lake of fire. You've been judged. So whatever lies you're trying to propagate upon me, I will not receive it, and I'm going to remind you of your ultimate demise. The enemy is under our feet, and he will bring lies. He will bring all these things to deceive us for the simple reason of not allowing us to know that we have authority over those things that would try to get us to understand that God redeemed us for a purpose. And so look with me. This is once again, this is in the confession that we just looked at. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He is under your feet. Amen. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nothing will injure you because he has given you authority to tread on those things that would try to disarray you from not walking in the fullness of being a son of God. Brother Hagin had this to say, and this blessed me, this prophecy in his book that really, really blessed me. He said, the Holy Spirit says, power on earth invested in the name of Jesus Christ and obtained by him through his overcoming the enemy belongs to the church. Therefore, exercise that authority, for it belongs to you on the earth. And in this life, you shall reign by Christ Jesus. This was something that was written a long time ago, but it all the more echoes where God wants his people. God does not want his people walking around trying to figure out how we're going to make it. Oh, Lord, you know, it really. And I was looking at TV the other day, and I was like, Kermit Cain said something, because they were like, well, what's the answer and all this stuff? And he said, well, really, to be honest with you, what I've been telling everybody is the answer was given 2000 years ago. And I'm like, wow, somebody. We don't look to the world system. We don't look to society to give us the answers for who we are. That has been already given to us. We have more authority than whoever's president now or whoever will be president. We have more authority than they do because our authority comes directly from the throne room of God. And so just like we on Wednesday nights, we decree that the president, the heart of the president is in the Lord's hands and he will turn it according to his great purpose. That's the authority that we have. By the way, they're saying flash flood watch in Austin, Texas. We take authority over that, too. We've done that many a times in this church, taking authority over storms, over diseases that may have come against our body. Look what the 7-8 years ago, our man of God. And knowing continuously that God is still restoring him. And all of us, there will be none sick or none feeble among us. Because we understand the place that God has called us to walk in. You know, the prophecies that has come of what God intends for this body to accomplish and to fulfill. You might look around and say, well, where is everybody? It doesn't matter. What matters is you're here. And because you're here, walk in the authority and the place that God has called you to walk in like never before. So once again, going back, I want to read this one more time, this prophecy that Brother Hagin said. He said, power on earth invested in the name, I'm going to say, of our anointed Redeemer and obtained by him through his overcoming the enemy belongs to the church. Therefore, exercise that authority, for it belongs to you on the earth. And in this life, you shall reign by the anointed Redeemer. That is our place of ruling and reigning as sons of the Most High God in the earth. This is the plan that the Father God had from creation. So it's nothing new. This is what he intended. You know, pastors always taught us about the original intent of the Father. That was part of it. Authority is not something that was invented. You know, it was something that belonged to mankind from the very beginning. But we gave it away. We gave it away when we believed, once again, a lie that the enemy told us that, man, if you, I mean, think of the, when I look at that, I'm like, man, he told him, you know, if you eat, you're gonna, you know, he doesn't want you to have it because you're going to be like, well, you already like him. You were his son. So what do I need added to myself to be, you know what I'm saying? It was already done. But once again, a lie can take you away from walking in the potential in the fullness of who you are in Christ Jesus. So this is the plan of the Father God from creation, that his will, plan, and purpose be done in the earth just like it is in heaven. The authority that has been given to the believer is the method for which this can and will be achieved. This is why the enemy does all he can to deceive or simply make sure believers are misinformed about the authority that we have in the anointed Redeemer. This is objective, to steal, kill, destroy. So if he can get us away from understanding who we are, then we miss out on walking in the full potential of seeing the authority lived out through us. But I would encourage you, begin Ephesians chapter 1. Once again, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, and Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Add those to your daily confessions of just decreeing, you know, that wisdom, the wisdom of God is made manifest in me, that my eyes are open to see the reality of who I am in the anointed Redeemer. When we begin to decree these things, then we can't be lied to. Circumstances and situations in life are going to come. We know that. You know, Brother Brian let us know, just, hey, he said, you know, it's going to be tribulations. It's going to, that's just an assurity. And Jesus said it because he knows what he's talking about. But the other part of that, he said, was be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. That overcoming the world was his authority that he basically gave to us. So that same overcoming ability that was in him, guess what? It's in us. So we don't have to be moved by what we see to the left or to the right. We can begin to walk in the fullness of the power, that the power, the authority that was invested in us by what he did for us. This authority was not something that we was conjured up. It was something that was given to us by someone who overcame for us. And so all it requires us is to believe it, receive it, and then walk it out. But in the process, every now and then an officer, I'm sure, has to get into his manual and understand his jurisdiction. He has to know, okay, well, this is where as far as I can go. If I'm in this situation, that's what the word says. It tells us the jurisdictions of our authority and shows us where we can walk. This is a good little demonstration of that right here in these confessions, of understanding what the word invested in us. When we decree it and declare it, we see the manifestation of that authority when we do that. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to encourage you. We're about done, but I just wanted to say, meditate on the word, saints. Meditate in that word. And then as you meditate on it, begin to allow the Lord to show you the things that he's placed in your life where he wants his authority demonstrated. One of the things Brother Hagin said that blessed me was that from praying these verses in Ephesians chapter 1 and 3, he began to see himself praying it for other people. He began to see people in his family that weren't walking. And, you know, we have a promise in Acts that if we believe, not only we will be saved, but our whole household will be saved because of the fact that we've made the Lord our Lord. So he said he began to pray this over. And this, he said, what blessed me, he said it was family members that he had been praying for years. But he began to insert their names in these verses in Ephesians. It's not some magic trick or anything. It's the truth. It's the word of God and it's truth. And when he began to decree it, he said their lives began to turn around. Many of them who needed healing manifested in their bodies started getting healed because he was decreeing the word of God. And that's what it is. That's what the Lord has given us, that authority to set all of creation free. The word says that creation is yearning and groaning for the sons of God to come into who they are. That's meaning that creation is looking to us and say, hey, you guys with authority, set us free. You know, you guys with, forget global warming and all that other garbage. No, we as the sons of God can set creation free. You know, just like I said, all this stuff about flash flood, no. We don't have that. We don't have destruction. If anything, we have slow soaking rain while we're sleeping in the city of Austin. Amen. We don't have heat waves. We don't have none of that stuff. But out of our mouth, from a heart of believing the scriptures, we can begin to set in motion the plan and purpose that God has for the earth by taking our place and walking in the authority. Amen. 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 I pray that you were blessed. Amen. Amen. Pastor, anything? Stand with me. Father God, I thank you for your people. Father, I thank you that the authority that you have given us, it is a gift, Lord God, and we will exercise the authority that you've given us in the earth, Father, to decree and declare your will, your plan and purpose as never before, Father. We thank you. Thank you that the anointed Redeemer, Father, he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And because of that, Father God, because we have believed and received, Father God, we will walk in the plan and purpose that you have called us as sons of God to set creation, to set the captives free by the word of truth that comes out of our mouth, the word that we have hidden in our hearts, Father God, knowing that it will perform your will and according to your plan and purpose, Father. We thank you. We praise you. I call every person here blessed. I thank you that their households are blessed. Father, I thank you that we come short in no good thing, but you continually lead us and guide us in victory, Father God. In whom you have blessed, none can curse. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness, Lord. Amen. You're blessed. Amen. Go with God.